This week, police arrested the suspected arsonist in the rash of Hawaiʻikaʻi fires. The area has been the scene of more than a dozen fires since the beginning of the year. With the hot, dry summer months ahead, the Hawaii Wildfire Management Organization is reminding the state that wildfires are nearly always started by people, regardless of intent. Elizabeth Pickett is the organization's executive director, and she's on the phone now. Hello.
Hi, Bethan.
Good to talk to you. Now, everybody was really concerned about what was going on in Hawaiʻikaʻi, and a lot of attention flowed in that direction. But as you look out over the year, can you put that into context about what we expect to see in a given year and fires?
Yeah, you know, Hawaii has only recently characterized its wildfire situation over the entire state, thanks to fire history mapping and statewide wildfire hazard assessments. And we know that over 98% of wildfires are human-caused. We know that the proportion of Hawaii that burns each year is often equal to or more than any other U.S. state. And while those acre numbers may be lower than other states because Hawaii is small, wildfires have long-lasting and broad impacts. And so preparedness and hazard reduction are really critical all year long, and particularly as we get into the dry season.
Can you also talk a little bit about the fires that you see that are started because of an arsonist and those that are started by people because of an accident? Do we have some real data on that?
You know, we don't have great data or many prosecutions that have to do with arson, but we do know that since fires are started by humans, it will be either accidentally or intentionally. And because almost 25% of our state is covered with non-native fire-prone grasses, it's really easy to have accidental ignitions as well as arson. And we do know also that fires are being started on both windward and leeward sides of every island in the state, and fires can only carry where there is fuel. So we really need to be looking at reducing the fire hazard and reducing that flammable vegetation wherever possible.
You talk about where fires can be started, and sometimes people don't necessarily look in that direction. Are you trying to myth bust a little bit about what we may believe concerning where fires start and really who we should be looking at ourselves?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, definitely arson is a problem, and it's a very scary problem for many people. But I think what we're mostly trying to do is put the power back in the hands of people who may be having concerns or fears related to fire. Fire can only burn where there is fuel. So there's a lot that people can do to protect their homes and families from fire. And also there's a lot we can do to reduce accidental ignitions by being careful with campfires, fireworks, equipment that may spark, and even when idling cars on the side of the road where there may be dry grasses. I think people don't realize how many accidental fire ignitions there are.
We just got the outlook for the summer, June through September. And according to the National Significant Wildland Fire Potential Outlook, the Big Island is again shaded in red for the entire summer, saying that there's going to be above normal large fire potential. What does that mean for the Big Island?
I think what that means for the Big Island and also for our organization is that we really need to engage communities and remind people that preparedness and hazard reduction are critical to reducing the likelihood of fire and also fire impacts. You know, firefighters are really the last line of defense. It needs to start with prevention and preparedness. And like I said, there's a lot that people can do to prevent fires that are ignited from carrying across homes and landscapes.
Specifically, what would you ask everybody to do tomorrow over the weekend?
Anything that you have been meaning to do around your landscape or your yard is probably good for fire prevention and vegetation management. You know, cleaning leaves, dry leaves, and out of your rain gutters, cleaning up debris piles, getting rid of dead and drying vegetation, all of the things that might go under the category of good housekeeping are also great for fire preparedness and protection.
If your home or condo units or development is up against land that's maintained by city and county, and you notice that there's a lot of brush up there, I mean, thinking about looking up into the hills and seeing some of that, what would you have people do when they really can't get up there and police it themselves?
Well, most of the fire departments will field phone calls and complaints about brush abatement needs, but really there's still a lot you can do right in the home ignition zone, very close to your own home, right up against it, against your windows, very nearby. You can actually deal with the vegetation there and replace anything you can with non-combustible building materials. And most importantly, it's just having that situational awareness. I mean, we can't control all of the vegetation all around us, but we certainly can work together with our neighbors and our communities to try to take that zoom out perspective and make sure that we are being managed in a very fire protective way. But also knowing if it is fire season and there is a likelihood of fire, having a family preparedness and evacuation plan in place and practice is also a key to being prepared for that.
A lot of families say, well, we intended to do this. We really thought we would get it done by now. But have we really gotten a wake-up call with some of the fires that we've seen so early in the season this year that you really need to sit down and do it?
I hope so. I don't know if that's bad to say, but I know that fires often go under-publicized. The impacts can be very scary and sometimes devastating, particularly to our natural resources and the edges of our communities. And I'd like it to be a wake-up call. I think it's not on the minds or on the radar of many people year-round, like it is maybe for those who work with our organization or our partners. But certainly, Hawaii has a devastating fire issue. We have a high fire hazard. And it really is time for people to just make the time to prioritize it. It really is insurance against impacts on our landscape and also to your home and family.
Elizabeth, before we let you go, you mentioned that fires are under-publicized. Very quickly, why?
Well, in part, it has to do with the fires are occurring across all of the islands and that our agencies have kept separate records, but we now have compiled all those records, and we really can see the size and scale and scope of the fire issues across Hawaii, and it's severe, and our hazard is high. So it's just now that we're being able to get the word out to really underline the fact that we need to get better prepared and to reduce our hazards in a way that we haven't in the past.
And are you going to be able to combine all of that data and make it available so people can actually get a handle on what's happening with fire in Hawaii?
Absolutely. In fact, our website, hawaiiwildfire.org, has a ton of information for teachers, legislators, and the public in terms of the history and background on fire in Hawaii, as well as actions people can take around their home and with their community to prevent the impacts and reduce the likelihood of fire in your area.
Thanks very much for the time today. All good information.
No, thank you.
Elizabeth Pickett is the executive director of the Hawaii Wildfire Management Organization. It's a nonprofit that leads and implements wildfire-focused planning, hazard education, and reduction, and projects across Hawaii and the Pacific.